Well, good morning. It's lovely to be here. Let me start by introducing myself. My name's Steve Petch. I'm an elder here at Grace Church. It's the privilege has fallen to me today to talk at what is our last meeting here in this particular premises before we move to the high school in Chichester from January onwards. But I want to say thank you for coming to our carol service today. Grace Church is a Christian church. We love to celebrate Christmas together, and that's what we're doing here this morning. Maybe you're here today because a friend brought you along, or maybe you received an invitation card, something like that, or maybe you saw the details of this meeting in the newspaper or on Twitter or Facebook. However you came to be here, I hope that you picked up on our theme for this year, which is Home for Christmas. Now, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That's John 14, verse 23. We started our meeting today with a video, a very powerful video, of a soldier returning home for Christmas and surprising his mother. And what struck me most in that whole video were her words, "You always come when I'm down. You always know when to show up." It's an emotional moment in what is a strong and emotional video. There's something quite powerful in the image of coming home for Christmas. As a parent, I have a daughter who's living away from home at university, and I'm definitely glad that she's enjoying university life and would be very worried if she came home every weekend. But it is nice to have her home for Christmas. To us, that's important. Of course, we all know this theme has been picked up in various Christmas songs. So, first of all, there's Chris Rea's 1986 song, Driving Home for Christmas. You know the one? I can't wait to see those faces. We love that one. We all know it, right? But it only charted at number 53. Or there's Bing Crosby's 1943 wartime hit, which you might want to sing with me, I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on me. It's great fun, isn't it? We love it. Okay. And there are plenty of other Christmas songs that you know, on the same theme, and you may have a different one in mind. But whether you love them or hate them, this theme resonates. It's a theme that we recognize and pick up on, home for Christmas. Now, I want to be clear as I speak that I am absolutely not aiming to be political at all in any way in what I'm saying. At the same time, I want to turn our attention, our thoughts just for a few moments, to the international scene this Christmas. It's certainly been a really troubled year in many parts of the world. Now, I'm sure that like me, you'll have seen pictures in the news of desperate refugees crossing the sea to try to get to Europe. And the main media focus has been on refugees from Syria escaping a very difficult situation of warfare and conflict. Around 13 million Syrians, which is more than half of that country's population, have had to flee from their homes. Over 4 million of these have had to flee Syria altogether and are now classified as refugees. Incidentally, around 20% of them are Christians, though you wouldn't know that from the newspapers. They certainly won't be home for Christmas. It's been interesting over this year to see how public opinion has really swayed as we've passed through 2015. So in the first half of the year, when we saw images of refugees gathering at the entrance to the Channel Tunnel in France, there seemed to be a fairly widespread reluctance to receive any refugees in the United Kingdom. And there was a YouGov poll that was done in May, and it showed this. It said that 42% of Brits were completely opposed to allowing any refugees to come to the UK at all for any reason. 42%. It's very high. But then on September the 2nd, there was a huge outcry when the media carried photos of a 3-year-old boy, Aylin Al-Kurdi, washed up on the shores of a beach in Turkey, the innocent victim of a sea crossing gone wrong. And it seemed that public opinion dramatically softened in the human face of the Syrian crisis when we were presented with human realities. But then in November, there were some horrific moments and scenes in Paris. And then as we discovered that two of the attackers entered Europe posing as Syrian refugees, public opinion shifted again, such that one person who I showed this card to said to me, "Oh, Syrian Refugee Relief Fund, ooh, controversial." It's really not. But I want to be clear again, I'm not aiming to be in any way political, and opinions amongst a room of this size will undoubtedly vary. And that's okay, you've got different opinions on these things. But what I want to do is draw our attention to the hope that Jesus offers to all people, whatever your view and whatever situation you find yourself in. You see, the main message of Christmas is this, that in Jesus, God came into our world. That in Jesus, God became a man and he experienced what we experience. He was tempted like we are tempted. He knew joy like we know joy. And he suffered like we sometimes suffer. And Christmas tells us that God knows what it's like to be human. We've heard most of the Christmas story today. The angel's announcement that Mary would give birth to the Son of God. The journey to Bethlehem for a census. No room at the inn. A birth in a stable. An angel choir singing to shepherds on the hilltops. And wise men bringing gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But let's not forget what happened next. See, Mary and Joseph didn't go home directly from that stable. Matthew's gospel describes what happened. Apparently those wise men were not as wise as we might imagine, because having seen a star that told them of a new king, the first thing they did was visit the royal palace in Jerusalem where King Herod lived. Herod, history tells us, was a very evil man who'd killed many people, including several members of his own family. And those wise men accidentally set him on a path of murder again, and this time with the aim of wiping out Jesus before he could grow up. And this is what happened probably just a few days later. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 to 16 says this. When the wise men had departed, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there till I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." And when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he became furious and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. What a horrific story. The dark side of Christmas. We see from this that Jesus, in his humanity, knew what it was like to be a refugee in his own childhood. His family would have arrived in Egypt with just the clothes they stood up in, and they weren't able to return home for several years. So how do we respond to all this as Christians? Well, we know we follow a Saviour who was a refugee himself, and who tells us to care for the poor. And Jesus actually said that he came to preach good news to the poor. You see, he said this, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. And blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh." And he said, "When you give to the needy," telling us that we should do that. And he said, "Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me." I think that's fairly clear. This Christmas and all year round, followers of Jesus are called to be good news to the poor and to care for those in need. And on that theme, we're just going to pause for a moment and we're going to hear a song performed. It's a Christmas song. It's called "Humble King." And the lyrics express something of Jesus' heart for the poor. Thank you. What an incredible song. I'd love to hear that performance. To remember Jesus, the refugee from the refugee family, the Saviour who came at Christmas. But just continuing our theme of home for Christmas for a moment, I just want to recognise that this can be quite a challenging time of year for some people, especially those who are on their own or perhaps have no one who will come home for Christmas. But even in the midst of family chaos, fairy lights, fantastic food and fancy gifts, it's still possible to feel quite alone sometimes. In fact, without Jesus, I think it would be impossible not to. But the message of Christmas is that you don't have to be alone. See, the angels told Joseph that Jesus would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Jesus is God with us in two ways. Firstly, as I've already said, he knows what it's like to be human. He's walked in our shoes. But more than that, secondly, he offers to come into our lives and make his home with us, to be God with us. Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. You see, you and I and all people were made for a relationship with God, but the sin in our lives, the things we've done wrong, cuts us off from knowing him. Our relationship with God has been damaged. And the Bible teaches us that there is a price to pay for our sin, the things we've done wrong. It tells us this. It says the wages of sin is death. It means a spiritual death. It means to be cut off from God, to not know God. But at Christmas, we remember that Jesus came into the world, and the main reason he came was to restore us to that relationship with God. He came to pay the price for sin on our behalf. And he did that on the cross. The wages of sin is death, but that's what Jesus paid for. So now we can add, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This baby we sing about and remember at Christmas, this baby Jesus, didn't stay a baby. Jesus grew up. He lived an incredible, unique life, a sinless life. Jesus healed people. He raised the dead. He walked on water. He calmed the storm. He fed 5,000 people from 5 loaves and 2 fish. He taught people. And he angered the religious leaders so much that they wanted to kill him, which they did by crucifying him. And on the cross, Jesus paid the price for sin, the sinless one dying for the sinful, the innocent dying for the guilty. And now Jesus makes an incredible offer to all people everywhere, regardless of status or background. The offer is this, that your sin can be taken and you can receive his righteousness as a free gift. He offers to take away our shame, to take away guilt, to give a clean conscience, a new start, and an eternal life with God. A life that starts now and goes beyond the grave. It's the best Christmas present you can have, and it's yours for the taking. You see, Jesus wants to come and dwell in your life. He wants to come to your home for Christmas. He wants to come home to your heart and your life for Christmas. You may feel lost or isolated, damaged or broken, angry or confused. Jesus can cut through all of that and give you new hope, a new life, and a fresh start. Whatever you've done, whatever has been done to you, a fresh start is possible. Jesus wants to make his home with you and restore you to a relationship with a God who loved you before you were even born. The mother of that soldier in our opening video said, "You always come when I'm down. You always know when to show up." Let me tell you this. Jesus, the Son of God, will never leave you or forsake you. He will always come when you're down. He always knows exactly when to show up. So I'm going to pray. And as I pray, I just want to invite you, if you'd like to pray with me, pray along in your heart, and perhaps invite Jesus to come and make his home with you this Christmas time. Let's just pray now. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came into this world at Christmas time. We thank you that you still change lives today, the greatest miracle of all. And I want to ask that you would come and make your home with me in my life. I want to come home to you this Christmas time. I ask for your forgiveness for my sin. And I pray that you would help me to follow you now. Amen. And you know, if you prayed that along with me today, and maybe that was a significant moment for you, then we would love to chat to you afterwards, or you could talk to the person who invited you today. But for now, I'm going to hand over to Mel, who's going to introduce our final carol and our Christmas offering.